This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Misses Halliburton, the rebound. 9 seconds. They do have a timeout. Carlisle's going to let him play. Halliburton steps back. Tyrese Halliburton trying to take Cleveland's heart. And it is over. The Indiana Pacers in a game two stunner.
Unbelievable.
Well, there was last night. Tyrese Halliburton, game winner, walks it off against the Cavaliers. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show. As the Pacers take a 2-0 series lead against the one seed Cavs last night, an incredible game. I mean, the Cavaliers were up the entire game. At the end, Indiana comes back. Halliburton down three, goes the line, makes the first one, misses the second, gets his own rebound, Hugh. Goes back out behind the three-point line, step back three to win it, and now the Pacers up 2-0 in that series. Would be nice to have a guy like that on the Sixers.
Man, I'll tell you what. And then, you know, Tyrese has had a nice little series so far. You know, his dad getting out to the Kupo's face.
Yep.
Talking crazy. And for him to take two games in the over the Cavs in Cleveland is pretty impressive, man. Especially when you talk about going into that series, they knew what kind of heater he was on. And to have that happen, that's just crazy. That's
real crazy. It's just infuriating to think about. Because you think back to 2022, and the Sixers had Ben Simmons. And there was obviously not a huge demand for his services at that point, but he still had value coming off that Hawks series. And a deal that was rumored to be on the table was Tyrese Halliburton, essentially, for Ben Simmons. You could have made that swap. Instead, Daryl Morey, being so focused on his boy James, needed to get James Harden here. Need to reunite with James Harden, brings him in. Could you imagine how things would look if we had Tyrese Halliburton here instead? He's developed into like a top 20, maybe top 15 player in the league.
I mean, but I hear what you're saying. I don't know if that would have been the case here, though. With Daryl Morey being here. Let's be real. Let's be real, Kyle.
Fair.
Like, this organization, you could point to a lot of cats that we've seen in this playoff series that we probably could have touched or had some dealings with that you say, oh, we could have had him here, but Daryl Morey was still here.
Yeah.
So it's not – I don't know if that's the case.
Well, we're also just cursed. I mean, Al Horford came here, sucked, immediately went back to Boston, and is back to his usual self. Like, it just –
yeah, so it's kind of hard to say, man. And then I go back to Joel Embiid. And I'm, you know, I hate to do that because I know people say, why are you got to pick on Joel? I'm not picking on Joel.
Yeah, go ahead.
But
I don't think anyone's that defensive of him.
Nobody's going to stop you here.
I'm not trying to pick on him, but Joel Embiid gets called to the carpet for his work ethic to get ready for the season. And his main focus was who told. Like, that should tell you everything you need to know. And the fact that he was in such bad shape from his perspective that he went over the coach's head. He went over Daryl Morey's head to talk to the owner about his situation.
Right.
That tells you everything that you need to know about this. That's why, shameless plug, they need to hire me as a PR guy, man.
Perfect.
I can like, listen, I could go in and have those hard conversations with these folks.
Well, it's amazing. You'd think that if Joel had maybe not gone and played in a tournament that had nothing to do with his actual
job, the Olympics,
and rested his knee, like maybe he was supposed to, maybe he would have been more healthy this season.
Don't do that. It's the Olympics, man.
Oh, come on. I don't care about that. I care about the Sixers.
Yeah, I'm a TK.
But it's the Olympics, though, fellas.
Who cares?
He's not getting paid by the Olympics.
But if you got a chance to play in the Olympics, for a country that you signed up to play for, because he played for what, Cameroon first in the Olympics, but then he came. But that's
neither
here nor
there. I don't care about
his
feelings. I care about the Sixers.
You know what I remember.
He's making a max contract for the city for Philadelphia.
And if that makes me unpatriotic, fine.
I'm just trying to tell you, it was a different thing, and I get that. You know what I remember from that whole fiasco? Is like, after they won the medal, and everybody brought out their signature shoe or whatever.
Signature D-Grace?
Well, signature shoe. And Skechers gave Joel his shoe. He was not happy about it. That was, to me, one of the funniest moments.
The shoe's not good enough for him?
I mean, go look at it. Like, if you go, I don't know how to Google search Joel Embiid's, what is it called? I just said it, the Olympic shoe.
Yeah.
And when they showed it to him, he just looked like, oh. It was a terrible shoe, man.
It was a terrible ass
shoe.
Well, I don't feel bad for him. But anyway, we're in this situation now where, and it's just the Halliburton thing is just a reminder of the move after move after move that the Sixers have screwed up over the years. But here we are this offseason, and next Monday we have the lottery. Maybe everything could look different. If Sixers get the number one overall pick,
Tyler,
I think
Hero.
We're...
Cooper Flagg.
Tyler Hero.
Man.
How do you confuse
players?
Them, Hugh?
I'll
What's
own
that about?
I'll own that. I screwed that up.
Kyle. Is that a you people right there?
No, I screwed that one up. That's my second one. I had the Brandon Marsh with it. Then I screwed that up. My bad.
Tyler Hero.
I said
very
Tyler
specific
Hero.
Mess
Cooper
up,
Flagg.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if we get Cooper Flagg, maybe we're a lot more optimistic in a week.
Or Tyler Hero. I mean, you know.
Or Tyler. Maybe we'll trade for Tyler Hero.
But, I don't know how I should feel about that, to be honest
but,
with
you. Regardless.
Feel attacked.
Regardless. The Sixers need to come up with a plan this offseason.
I have no legs to stand
just
on.
Unbelievable.
I have no legs
like
to stand
Tyler
on.
Hero. That is just perfect.
I got my white people mixed up.
It's even, better that he didn't do it on purpose. Like, if he did it on purpose, it would have been funny, but not as funny. You're just amazing, Hugh. But the Sixers are going to have some interesting decisions this offseason. Do you move on from Joel Embiid? This is an interesting rumor that kind of came out the other day on Bill Simmons' podcast. Bill Simmons, Ryan Russillo, talking about Joel Embiid and potentially being pursued by the Lakers.
Can you think of anything where if you're the Lakers, you go, now I have to think about this a little bit?
Embiid?
That's something the Lakers would like traditionally do.
Talk about get out of jail free cards.
I think the Sixers would do it in a second.
We'll give you all of our expirings and a first, and we'll get you out of the Joel Embiid business. Here's your get out of jail free card right now. You don't have to deal with them anymore.
I heard Embiid was available at the trade deadline. It'd be irresponsible to not even ask. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
You think it's surprising that Daryl would potentially float the idea?
I just hadn't heard that. I was excited about the info. Yeah. So, all right. That's my favorite Lakers move. All their expirings and two first round picks, and they get Embiid. And Philly
just
gets.
So not Reeves.
Reeves isn't in it.
Oh, Reeves isn't in it.
He's not in it. You don't even get Reeves. We don't know if Embiid's ever playing again. I'm like, I'll take Embiid. You can have one of our first round picks, and here's some bunch of expirings.
So essentially, the Sixers in this deal would get out of Embiid's contract, get a first round pick. That's pretty much it. I do it. I just want to get out of the contract and move on.
Who's going to do that, though? With a player that, like he said, you don't know how this experimental treatment is going to go.
I think a team like the Lakers, who say this is the last year of LeBron's career, and who knows if he's going to play another year, another 2 years, I think they might be desperate enough to do it. Is if this is LeBron's last year, they say, we're going to take a shot, we're going to try to put Embiid with LeBron and Luka for 1 year and just try it. I think that's something the Lakers would do.
I think the better fit would be Giannis, though, wouldn't it? Because isn't Giannis in a situation where he might not be with Milwaukee?
But Milwaukee's going to get more than that for Giannis.
So you're looking at the matchup as far as the expiring contracts and the number one pick and all the other good stuff.
Yeah, because like if the Bucks are trading Giannis, there's going to be a lot more of a market there.
Yeah, but you're taking a chance on a guy who missed more games this year than he played. And on top of that, has a bad contract. On a and you don't know what you're going to get. Like, you don't know how many games. I would venture to say he'll probably only play like 30 games next year.
How sad is it that we've gotten to the point where maybe we're thinking the Lakers wouldn't even do a move like that? And
I don't know.
They wouldn't even have to give up Austin Reeves.
You would probably, I would say Giannis would probably be the one. Now, I get what you're saying, but that to me would probably be a more feasible outcome because you don't know what you're going to get from Joel Embiid.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, when Ryan Russillo brings that up, now Embiid was not like eligible to be traded at the deadline, but it would lead you to believe that Daryl Morey's at least had like preliminary conversations about what they could do maybe this offseason.
See, now that makes no sense.
If you can trade him,
I
trade him.
But see, that makes no sense to me because if you went into the season and he had a bad knee and you signed him.
Mm-hmm.
So now as the season progressed, you knew his knee was bad when you signed him. I can't imagine you signed a guy that he didn't play that much in the Olympics. You had to have your doctors check him out. And they probably told you, hey, man, that knee looks pretty bad. And you signed him anyway.
It was a bad decision.
So now you wanna trade him during the season? To me, that those ducks don't add up. It just doesn't add up.
The whole thing just seems so bleak. Kyle, where do you stand on this? Say that's the situation. And just living in this hypothetical scenario where the Sixers can get out of the contract, really get nothing back except get out of the contract. Yeah. Would you do it or would you take another shot with Embiid getting healthy?
And it was a first in there too, right? So, I mean, at least that's something.
But a Lakers first is not going to be a great pick.
Sure, but it's a pick. And it's like some
grasping for straws.
Yeah. Marginal piece. But his value is only going to get worse, I feel like.
You're talking about Joel's?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
So, I mean, like, I'm just so, like, over trying again with this group, Embiid and Paul George. Like, I don't feel like it's ever going to work.
I just want to trade Embiid, trade Paul George, and start over from scratch. Please, like, bottom line, please let us get Cooper Flagg or Tyler Hero
for
in the draft.
What are we going to get Cooper Flagg for?
Well, now I'm confused. Are we talking about Cooper Flagg or are we talking about Tyler Hero?
Cooper Flagg, right? Cooper Flagg. Yeah. Cooper Flagg. That was on my phone.
Or Jokic. Yeah.
So now that's what we're doing.
I mean, if we get the number one pick, we'll get him. It's really simple. He's a great player. That would be incredible, but no one our luck.
All look the same, don't
we? We're not going to get. Yeah.
God,
that was. That was
unbelievable. The optics of the situation to you people.
Oh, it's bad luck. Yeah.
It's a bad. Yep. I know, but I didn't mean it that way.
You people.
I just had Tyler Hero name him. I don't know why, but his name was in my head.
The best is when you said Tyler Hero, and we both looked at you, and you're like immediately like, "What did I do?" And then I dawned on you.
I did that. I messed
up. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Also talking about the Phillies today. Have the Phillies become underrated? That's our Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Right now, 67% of the audience saying no, Phillies not underrated, but talking about that and whether we've been fairly evaluating them this year and looking at it and through the lens of this season, because obviously last year's last year, but have we been fair in evaluating the Phillies, what we're talking about today? 215-592-9494. Let's go to C. Gordon. What's up, C. Gordon?
Hey, thanks for letting me in. Good afternoon to you.
Midday.
Okay, now let me start by saying I saw Richie Allen play at Connie Mack Stadium, third base. So I've been watching this for a long time. And did you know that the Phillies have the most losses of any major league team ever? This is why Philadelphians feel this way.
Well, what does that have to do with Dick Allen?
I've
been watching, what I'm saying is I've been watching the Phillies play for a long time. So I remember seeing Richie Allen play with the Phillies at Connie Mack Stadium on Lehigh Avenue. I've been watching this for a long time. They have the
really
most
congratulations.
They have the most losses of any major league team.
But how is that relevant to this conversation?
Because this is why Philadelphians feel this. We've been let down so many times over the decades that we see them play good ball for a minute. But if you look up the roster for the 67 Phillies.
Who cares about the 67 Phillies?
Look at the roster for the 67 Phillies.
What about the roster?
Because if you see the people that were on that team, they didn't win either. We've been watching this for a long time.
What does...
We love him. We want to see him win.
Oh, my goodness. What does that have anything to do with this team?
Because we've been watching this for years.
So what?
Because you want to know why we feel this way.
No, he's trying to. He's enlightening you.
Yeah, C. Gordon, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I really don't. I appreciate the call. Like, I'm saying we shouldn't be looking at last year as a reason to judge the Phillies. Now we're going back to 1967.
Look at the roster, TK.
Well, look at what the Phillies did 57 years ago, and that's why they're not going to win a World Series this year.
You know, I can enlighten C. Gordon and tell him that I've seen this team win a World Series, go to the playoffs the last 3 years in a row, go to the World Series Game 6 just a few years ago. A lot more relevant than the 1967 Phillies and Dick Allen at their base. I mean,
yes,
at Connie Mack.
And I think a lot of the... This is what kind of bothers me a little bit, is a lot of the reason, a lot of the skepticism toward this team, I just don't think has anything to do with this year and the way they played. It's all about, oh, well, the last few years, what they've done in the past, why we're negatively looking at this team. None of it's based on what we're actually seeing now.
Well, I think it's a little bit. I think it's a little bit about last year, but I think mostly it's about, you know, all the bravado that you had early on and you didn't do anything. And like you've been kind of standing pat. And early on, I think that when the people look at the moves that you did make, they didn't look like they were panning out early. So now it's starting to turn a little bit. But again, we've been here before. We have been in this position. And that's why people are real skeptical right now.
Mm-hmm. And so we got Robin Yount.
Yep.
And Dick Allen.
I love the references.
67 Phillies.
Yeah. We got to show Dave Dombrowski the Robin Yount video show him the Robin Yount story, and that'll make him move Trey Turner in the field. 215-592-9494. But when you look at the Phillies, possible help coming from the minor leagues as well, because this is an area where they're going to have to find reinforcements from somewhere. And a couple guys in the minor leagues really producing right now, one being a guy we heard about for years in the past, Mick Abel. Here's what Dave Dombrowski had to say last night talking to Murph about Mick Abel and what he's doing down in Lehigh.
This has really been a big turnaround year for him. He's now come on. He's been one of the best pitchers at AAA baseball, and he's pitched on a consistent basis very well. And I'd say if we needed him, I would not hesitate to bring him up to big league level if we needed a starting pitcher at any point.
Now, obviously, the Phillies don't need a starting pitcher right now. I feel like they might need to start converting some of these guys to bullpen arms, because that's what you need. You don't need more starters. And that's the only reason why Lizardo moved in the offseason, which was a good trade.
Mm-hmm.
It was just curious, because that's not really what you needed for
no,
this team.
But I think that they're starting to, like, to your point, and one of those guys that they're not moving to the bullpen is definitely not going to be Ranger. I don't think that he's going to be one of those guys. But I think looking at this situation, you could never have, and I've always told you could never have too many arms. So, you know, you get enough arm in those bullpen. When you do have those power outages like we tend to have, then you have the arms that can kind of, you know, you can get in those games where, you know, if you get one or two runs, you might be have a chance to win those. I think that's kind of how they're looking at it, because for whatever reason, at the worst time, these bats for us go cold, and it does not help anything when you talk about the starting pitching not being where it needs to be and your bullpen. Who was it a few years ago, Kirkering?
Yep.
When you threw him out there and he blew up for us. So you don't want to keep – you don't want to – if you know that there's a propensity for your bats to go cold, the only way you can counteract that is get more pitching. So I kind of get where he's coming from when he says that.
Yeah, and another guy who's really been tearing it up down in AAA this year has been Otto Kemp, a guy who's third baseman, hitting a lot of homers.
That's an old school name.
Yeah, it is an old – it's good Otto baseball.
Otto Kemp, name. Yeah, that's a good baseball name.
Here's what Dombrowski had to say about Otto Kemp.
And Otto Kemp has just been a really good player for us. He's really continued to move forward. He's International League Player of the Month also. So he's hitting the ball with pop, driving in runs. He's a gamer. And he's on the verge of playing at the big league level too. So it's with those couple of guys and Crawford and Rinconas and some of the other arms that we have, we've really got a good group of guys at AAA, which is encouraging for the organization.
And I think some of these guys, like, I get he's a third baseman, I get Alec Boehm's there. You got to find a place to play these guys, because you have these players in the minor leagues who I feel like you're kind of wasting down there a little bit.
Yeah, and the guy that comes to mind that probably stayed a little bit long in the minors that should have been up a while was Ryan Howard. I remember when he came up.
Oh, yeah, Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy was in front of him, man, and it just took – and we probably missed some of his better years because he was down for so long. So, yeah, I get what you're saying when you say that.
And I think James Seltzer on the morning show made an interesting point this morning where it is good, though, that these guys are performing the way they are. Even though you're not using them right now, maybe these are guys you can trade because they don't want to trade Painter. They don't want to trade Miller. They don't want to trade Crawford. That's why it is important for these other guys to kind of show that they're able to play at the major league level. And it's why, like, a guy like Otto Kemp, if he keeps hitting like this, I feel like you got to bring him up and play him a little bit in the outfield. Maybe you can play Max Kepler in center field a little bit and give him a chance, because if you're not getting great offense from one of your outfield spots, you know, and say Rojas cools off a little bit, you can't just let these guys sit in the minor leagues.
Yeah, it's always good to have options, man, especially when you talk about that power outage that we've had in the second half of the season. To get some fresh blood up here and try to inject some energy into this lineup wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah, definitely. Final segment of the show coming up. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. You want to get on the Phillies. Have we been too hard on them this season? We'll check in with you people before we get out of here for the day as well. And will this audio we're about to play make you feel better or worse about someone he's been pursuing? Ooh. I'm excited for this. We'll get to that coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's that time of year again. Time to take a break from talking about bacon to share my grilling wisdom. It's official, people. It's grilling season. Elevate your grilling game with Hatfield Marinated Pork Tenderloins. Their flavor was so easy to cook. Hatfield Marinated Pork Tenderloins are a game changer for any cookout. Tuscan herb. Herb, people, not herb. Tuscan herb. Honey garlic teriyaki, lemon garlic. There are so many flavors to choose from. Head to simplyhatfield.com for retail locations and put some Hatfield pork on your fork.